is Common Sense Radio. Straightforward and no excuses.
All right. Come on now.
This is the Steve Gruber Show.
Call me crazy.
Ooh, yeah.
What I said was perfectly right and spot on accurate.
Boy's got a mouth like a cannon, always shooting it all.
Stop. Yeah, stop. I mean, you're way off script.
Got it in me. Gonna quit until it all comes out.
Hey, boy.
Yeah, you know, it's not cynical, it's common sense.
Pay attention to me when I'm talking to you.
I'm gonna rock the nation. Rock the nation.
Genuine, accountable, and raw. Here is Steve Gruber.
And welcome to it. It is Thursday, my friends. Welcome to the Steve Gruber Show. You're on board. Thanks for stopping in. If you'd like to join the conversation today, well, I think you should. The phone number is 888-900-9966, 888-900-9966. I've taken a young man hostage in the studio today. We have a job shadow in here today. Daniel will be here for the balance of the program. And if he behaves himself well, then we might even put him on the microphone a little bit later just to see how that goes. But, you know, he has to earn his keep here. But I'm proud of the kid. It's, what, 6 in the morning, and guess what? He's at work. That's the way the world works. If you want to earn something in this world, young man, you have to go out and get it. A lot of things going on, but nothing more important here close to home than Attorney General Bill Schuette doing as expected, announcing the first indictments yesterday, as 3 people were formally charged for the first time in the Flint water fiasco. There are expected to be many more people held accountable, more arrests, more charges coming for the contamination of the city's water supply. With high lead levels in the days and weeks to come, we should see a lot of that going on. It was the drinking water that was contaminated with lead. Genesee District Judge Tracy Collier-Nix authorized charges against Flint employee Michael Glasgow and Michigan Department of Environmental Quality employees Stephen Bush and Michael Prisby. Numerous felonies, piles of misdemeanors, all sorts of charges here. In fact, let's start with what Bill Schuette had to say. We'll get a little taste of that. It is clip 1. Go.
Today, we are announcing we filed criminal charges in the Flint water crisis against 3 individuals. We have filed charges against Stephen Bush, an employee of the Michigan Department of Environmental Quality, and Michael Prisby, also an employee of the Michigan Department of Environmental Quality. We have charged each individual with 3 felonies, 3 separate felonies. First, we've charged Mr. Bush and Mr. Prisby with misconduct in office, a felony. Mr. Bush and Mr. Prisby misled federal and local authorities, regulatory officials, and failed to provide safe and clean water to families of Flint. When we prove these allegations, and we will, Mr. Bush and Mr. Prisby will be facing 5 years in prison for this count alone. Mr. Michael Glasgow is an employee of the city of Flint, working at the water treatment plant. We have charged Mr. Glasgow with felony tampering with evidence by altering and falsifying reports to the DEQ and the EPA. These charges are only the beginning, and there'll be more to come. That I can guarantee you.
And as you can see, there's Attorney General Bill Schuette. And it's a serious, I mean, you can see 3 felonies each, taking very seriously. What does it mean for Rick Snyder? Well, on Wednesday, the governor described the filing of criminal charges against these 3 government workers connected with the water issue as taking everything to a whole new level. He spoke a couple of hours after Bill Schuette was on the podium. Snyder said he has not been personally interviewed by the Attorney General's investigators, but called Wednesday's charges deeply troubling and extremely serious. In fact, let's hear from the governor. It's clip 2. Go.
I've consistently said that a handful of bureaucrats had created a terrible situation in Flint from the beginning. If these accusations are correct, this would take it to a whole new level. And one of the things we clearly want to pursue is the truth. The citizens of Michigan deserve it. The citizens of Flint deserve it.
Bush, by the way, had been under investigation for several months by the state. Was placed on paid leave back on the 1st of February. Snyder indicated Prisby will now also be included as part of that review. On Wednesday, DEQ Director Keith Cray placed Bush and Prisby on unpaid leave. Glasgow has been placed on administrative leave, according to Flint Mayor Karen Weaver's office. DEQ District Engineer Michael Prisby faces 6 charges, as you heard. Stephen Bush's DEQ Office of Drinking Water in Lansing and Jackson District Supervisor faces 5 total charges. We have some constraints on our actions due to civil service, said the governor. I mean, it's a mixed bag. This is one of these guys facing 5 years, one facing 15, one facing more than 20 years in prison if convicted. Pretty serious charges, I would say. The other thing that caught my attention yesterday that just blowing up social media. Just blowing up social media. The next time you visit a Target store, if you decide to, a lot of folks say they will never shop at Target again. You use whatever bathroom you'd like. Makes no difference. That's the message the retail giant appears to be sending with its new statement on its website that takes aim at so-called bathroom laws seeking to restrict men's and women's bathrooms to the sex listed on a person's birth certificate. I mean, why would we apply any common sense to the conversation? In our stores, says Target in its statement, we demonstrate our commitment to an inclusive experience in many ways. Most relevant for the conversations currently underway, we welcome transgender team members and guests to use the restroom or fitting room that corresponds to their gender identity. So, just so we're clear, Target stores don't care what bathroom you use. In fact, if you're a woman, and if you want to use the men's bathroom, that's fine. If you're a man and maybe you're 6'6", biologically intact, you want to use the ladies' room because that's the way you feel today, well, gosh darn it, you just go ahead and do that. Now, if somebody's 6-year-old daughter is in there, well, so what? That's just too damn bad. Who does she think she is anyway? To think that she ought to be able to go into a bathroom and use it without being disturbed by a 6'6" intact man standing at the toilet. Target now publicizing its policy of go ahead and use whatever bathroom you identify with. It doesn't matter if it is upsetting to others. It doesn't matter if kids are there. It doesn't matter, it seems, if you're a sexual predator. If you feel like a woman, no matter what kind of plumbing you have, then by God, you march right in there into the woman's room and do what you need to do. If those simpleton, bigoted, and closed-minded elderly women don't see the real inner beauty of your transgendered self, that's just too damn bad, isn't it? Yeah, smoke on that for the rest of the time we have here. It is Thursday, the phone number 888-900-9966. Sit tight, Joe. I'll get to you in just a moment on the hotline. It's the Steve Gruber Show.
Delivering Michigan common sense with a big dose of truth and honesty.
Welcome back to the program. It's Thursday. You know, Daniel here, my job shadow, he says that pretty much all the teachers at school are liberals that push their views on the kids, which I'm shocked. I'm totally floored over that. I'm blown away. Oh, Lord. Help our children, please. Teach them to read so they can find out for themselves how deadly and dangerous things like, well, Marxism are, and people like Bernie Sanders and their failed thinking, and the fact that, you know, Venezuela is, well, you can't even get toilet paper in Venezuela. That's convenient when you go to the bathroom. Did you wash? Anyhow, Joe is on the line in Owosso with more comments on the hotline. Joe, welcome to it.
Morning, Steve. So, well, you know, my take on the fact that you said hope our kids read, you know, human beings tend to be lazy. I mean, you know, I know that might run against you, but if you look at the species for many, many, many years. You know, they kind of take the easier road out.
No. Here's the thing, though. You know, I think that's an acquired trait. I don't think it's something we're born with. I think that work ethic is something that is taught. It is something that is encouraged. It is something that is nurtured, which is why in my history, kids that played sports or whatever have always been better employees of people I have hired over time because they know how to work hard. Go ahead.
Well, what I was going to comment about is my question on the indictments is, okay, so if they're public employees, who picks up the check for the attorney?
I think once they're charged with a crime, that it's on them. The state no longer defends them. If they're charged with a crime, in this case, they are now on their own to go get counsel. I can assure you of that. I'll get a clarification.
I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised if somewhere along the line, you know, we get the, you know, quote public defenders, or at least like they get assigned because they were, you know, they were quote, we would say, coerced into their job.
No, I am quite sure that they have to pick up their tab at this point. I have a couple of friends. I'll call Mike or I'll call Morley. I'll get somebody, one of my attorney friends, on the back channel to figure out, but I'm pretty sure that's the case. I mean, for example, you can't go ahead and embezzle, you know, $1 million from the state and then expect the state to pay your legal fees to defend yourself. I don't think it works that way. You know,
right,
well, unless, of course, you're at the higher levels of Washington, at which point it always works that, but that's different.
That's right. Especially if your last name's Clinton.
Well, if your last name's Clinton, that's right. You just game the whole system. It makes no difference. You got it.
Right. Thanks. Okay, listen, have a good weekend.
Hey, thanks for checking in, my friend. Yeah, if your name's Clinton, the rules are different. The rules apply completely differently, as you well know, because, well, I mean, just let me give you an example. I mean, Hillary Clinton went out and did the racist skit, was that last weekend, with New York Mayor Bill de Blasio. Oh, I was just in a skit with the mayor. I don't know what's going on. Can you imagine if Donald Trump went out and did a racist skit? These idiots would be running around frothing at the mouth, doing 24-hour news coverage. They'd have an hour of coverage for every syllable that came out of his mouth. You know, but Hillary Clinton can sit out there and talk about CP time, which I had never heard of, but apparently is commonly referred to in some places as colored people time. I can only imagine if Donald Trump had uttered such a thing ever. Oh, by the way, speaking of the Target story of anybody can use the bathroom anytime, so I won't be shopping at Target, certainly not when I have my daughter with me. I'm just not going to do that. I'm not going to go to a place that says, you know, maybe I should go use the women's room. Maybe I feel like a woman today. And who's going to say anything? You shut your mouth. I feel like a woman. I mean, seriously, it's absurdity. But Curt Schilling has been booted by ESPN, fired from his job yesterday as a baseball analyst after he made comments on Facebook. Newsflash. Don't say anything on Facebook, folks, because if you offend somebody, they might just come kick you off the air. The post included an image of a man wearing a long blonde wig and revealing women's clothing in the phrase, "Let him in to the restroom with your daughter, or else you're a narrow-minded, judgmental, unloving, racist bigot who needs to die." Well, apparently that was enough to get him fired. In response to recent laws in several states that restrict bathroom access for transgender people, which, by the way, this is, I don't know who wrote this story. This is on Fox Sports. In response to recent laws in several states that restrict bathroom access for transgender people, which it does not, there is not a single law out there that restricts access to any bathroom for any person. It just says, use the bathroom of your given sex, period. A man is a man no matter what they call themselves. And this is what Schilling wrote. A man is a man no matter what they call themselves, and now you need laws telling us differently. Pathetic. Yes, that's what got him fired. Unbelievable. Okay. So you've probably heard this. Treasury Secretary Jacob Lew has made the decision to replace Andrew Jackson on the $20 bill with Harriet Tubman, This has been in the works for a long, long time. These conversations have gone on for a long, long time. The official who spoke on condition of anonymity in advance of Lou's official announcement says the 19th century abolitionist and leader of the Underground Railroad movement will replace the portrait of Andrew Jackson, the nation's seventh president, who, by the way, happened to own slaves. He will be in the panorama, but on the back of the bill. And it saved Alexander Hamilton on the $10 bill because there was a big move to replace Hamilton, but because he was instrumental in creating the nation's economic system, along with Adam Smith, probably the most intelligent man that put this country together, Adam Smith, who Daniel has no idea who that person is, but he will after today. Andrew Jackson is gone. Alexander Hamilton will remain. There's also changes coming to the $5 and $10 bills. We don't know quite yet what those are going to be in their entirety. But for now, Harriet Tubman will be on the front of the 20. That'll take a little bit of time. Probably by 2020, those will start to circulate en masse. Now you're up to speed. As far as that goes, it's 25 after. This hour of the Steve Gruber Show brought to you by the Michigan 529 programs, making sure your kids and grandkids get the education they need. To learn more, go to savewithmi529.com. That's savewithmi529.com. I'll be right back.
Michigan, born and raised with Midwestern values and Michigan common sense.
It's Thursday here on the program. Now, I want to remind you, tomorrow is Earth Day. A couple of important things going on Earth Day. First of all, the agreements reached in Paris last December aimed at keeping us in energy poverty and controlling the masses. That's what it's really all about, in my estimation. They will allegedly take effect. There'll be a big ceremony in New York tomorrow. Now, I can't go to New York, but here's what I can do, what I will do, and what you can do. I'm going to go to Okemos, to a place called Gilbert and Blake's. We will celebrate Earth Day. We'll have barbecue ribs and chicken, ride your Harley, bring your big gas-guzzling SUV. God bless you. We're going to celebrate Earth Day by what Earth has to offer to all of us, and we're going to celebrate in a little bit of a different way. You can go to the Steve Gruber Show Facebook page, get all the information you need. No, it's not free. Like a whole bunch of you ask me, is it free food? I'm not buying you dinner. We can all get together and chat, but I don't know you that well. All right. So, speaking of the implementation of the Paris Climate Agreement, Dr. Calvin Beisner here, founder and national spokesman of the Cornwall Alliance, that is. Doctor, welcome to the program.
Thanks very much, Steve. Good to be with you.
All right. So, we've talked about this a lot lately. Here in Michigan, in April, we shut down, I think, We're shutting down 7 coal-fired power plants. We're going to have 20 more shut down by the year 2020. No real plan to replace those. They were smaller plants, I'll give them that. But other plants are being built. Different things are happening. Okay, they're phasing out coal overall. But what I am seeing is places like Germany suspending their $1.1 trillion windmill program because, well, it doesn't work, and they're paying 5 times the cost for electricity. We're going to see all these things happening. And I don't think it's necessarily good for us as Americans or for people globally who are going to be, as I say it, in an energy poverty situation. What is your take?
Well, I think the people who are really going to be celebrating tomorrow as the heads of state from around the world sign the Paris Climate Treaty are going to be the heads of state from around the world.
Yeah, exactly.
because here's what's going to happen. The signing of this treaty is going to bring into action the formation of a green climate fund to which Organization of Economic Cooperation and Development nations, that is developed industrialized nations, are going to be contributing. And money from that is going to be distributed to the developing nations around the world. Well, guess what kind of people tend to rule the developing nations around the world? The people who take international aid, put it in their Swiss bank accounts, and therefore have a nice cushy place ready for when a new thug pushes them out of office.
You mean nice people, like nice cordial leaders like Robert Mugabe of Zimbabwe.
Yeah.
You know, a nice cuddly guy who has slaughtered, 5 million of his own people while destroying his entire country? That kind of a guy?
Yeah, that kind of a guy. Here's the reality. The total implementation, complete implementation, no cheating, no leaking, no nothing, of the Paris Climate Treaty would, even according to the UN Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change's own modeling, only reduce global average temperature by 0.17 degrees Celsius by the end of this century. But it will cost in the neighborhood of $56 trillion. Now, that's frankly a good deal of money, and it's money that...
Did you say 56 with a T? Did you say 56 trillion dollars?
56 with a T, you know. It's just it's a gargantuan number, and it's a price that, frankly, the vast majority of the people around the world cannot afford to pay. Here in the United States, the commitment we've made to the Paris Climate Treaty, and it really is a treaty, by the way. President Obama chooses not to call it that because he doesn't want the embarrassment of having to submit it to the Senate and get it voted down overwhelmingly.
Well, can't the Senate call him out on it, Doctor? Can't the Senate say, no, you can call it what you want. It's a treaty. Isn't that why we have what's left of the Constitution?
Yeah, well, you would hope so. And there are movements within the Congress to pass resolutions to that effect.
Mm-hmm.
Whether they could be enforced is another issue entirely, because, frankly, we have a president who runs roughshod over the Constitution all the time. At any rate, our compliance with our pledges under the UN Paris Climate Treaty would cost us about $2.15 trillion. And you know what they would do for global average temperature in the year 2100? They would reduce it by perhaps 0.013 degrees Celsius. That's not measurable. Certainly nobody in the world experiences anything like that.
Here's what I want to pose to you a question. Dr. E. Calvin Weisner here, founder and national spokesman for the Cornwall Alliance on the morning of the Paris Climate Agreement. I've got a job shadow, a young man here in the studio, Daniel, who's here today. But I ask him, as I ask other people, he's a junior in high school. I say, all your friends believe in climate change. Yeah, they do. He seems a little suspect on it, but they all do. So I ask people, can you show me one piece of evidence, anything you've seen in your daily life, anything at all, that would indicate there's global climate change, global warming, some crisis of any sort? Just point to anything, a dead flower, a rabbit that died, any damn thing can you point to? They've got nothing. Nothing.
Yeah, this is really the case. And this is why Dr. Richard Lindzen, who is one of the world's most respected and most accomplished climate scientists, climatologists of MIT, says, look, now, we see a greater change in temperature from low to high every day in most locales around the world. We see a greater change in temperature every year from summer heat to winter cold around the world. We see not just a greater one, but multiple times, 10, 20, 30 times as great a change in temperature as what is predicted for the worst-case scenarios of global warming because of man-made CO2. It doesn't matter. His response is, how should we react to this? By saying, ho hum, so what?
Exactly.
It really doesn't make a difference.
Although,
we've been fooled into thinking it does, and therefore giving control of our lives and giving vast amounts of our money over to the central planners who want to impose a centrally planned economy on us.
Well, exactly.
Curtailing our freedoms and impoverishing us because, that's what socialism does.
That's
what
how
central
the
planning does.
You know, to people that are actually true believers in global warming, I demonstrate this to them, and they always sit there with a blank look on their face. I love global warming. I do, because it gave me something that I treasure. It's called the Great Lakes. And here in Michigan, 20% of the world's fresh water is a direct result of melting glaciers that came from only one way, global warming. And by God, thank God for global warming, because it gave me the Great Lakes, the Mississippi River, the Delta, the Missouri River, maybe the greatest trout fishing rivers in the world, including the Madison, the Jefferson, and the Gallatin. That's why I love global warming.
Yeah, I mean, global warming is cyclical. It happens in a variety of different periodicities, length. From 10, 15, 20 years, depending on the El Nino cycle, to 22, 25 years, depending on the sunspot cycle. There are cycles that run about 150 years, cycles that run about 500, about 1,500, and cycles that run in the hundreds of thousands of years. Now, this kind of thing is what the Cornwall Alliance for the Stewardship of Creation, the ministry that I lead, is committed to helping people to understand. We bring together the insights of outstanding scientists, outstanding economists, and outstanding even theologians and ethicists.
All right, Doctor, before I let you go here, because we're just about out of time, how can people find you for another chance to see and read more real quickly?
Great, cornwallalliance.org, and thank you very much.
Cornwallalliance.org. Doctor, thank you very much. Great conversation. It's 41 after on the Steve Gruber Show.
Taking a closer look at the stories that affect you most with a big dose of common sense.
I'll never be your beast of burden. My back is broken.
Hey, if you own a Volkswagen, you might be getting some cash. The government was going to ink a deal to pay owners of the cheating diesels, if you will. Volkswagen, as you recall, gamed the system on emissions. It's their fault there's global warming. It's not your fault or mine. Volkswagen destroyed the planet and made the temperatures go up, you know, one half of 1 degree once somewhere, killing exactly one sparrow or something like that. Anyhow, Volkswagen inking a deal with the U.S. government and private lawyers reaching this deal to buy back some 600,000 diesel cars that cheat on emissions. Spent over $1 billion to compensate owners, according to a person briefed on the matter. The deal, in principle, includes a maximum amount of spending. But in the final details, like how much each owner would get, well, that's still being worked out. Can you imagine, though, you've got a car, you're kind of sick of it, you're ready to replace it, and along comes Volkswagen with $1 billion in their pocket. Oh, yeah. Yeah, my car is terrible. Gosh, I can't imagine ruining the environment anymore. Thanks for buying me a new car. Bonus. All right, moving on to our next guest, Randy Barnett, Juris Doctor, Professor of Constitutional Law and Director of the Georgetown Center for the Constitution. Doctor, welcome to the program.
Good morning. Good to be here.
Obviously, the death of Antonin Scalia in February, unexpected. I don't think he was wearing the robe at the time, by the way, of the quail hunting group he was with. I'd like to see that for the record. It's a big loss for the Supreme Court, a guy who was part of the conversation for three decades. And there is no question it is the most critical Supreme Court nominee, whoever gets the job, which I don't think it'll be Merrick Garland, by the way. Whoever gets the job could be pivotal for at least a generation, right or wrong?
Oh, it's totally right. And that's because the left side of the court believes and it has a different conception of what the Constitution is than the right side of the court does. And this is not a matter of partisan politics, that they want, the left side wants their policies and the right side wants their policies, but they actually have a different view of what we the people means and how judges are supposed to do their job under our Constitution.
Yeah, what they fail to realize, you see, a judge's job is not to create law. It's not a judge's job to determine what the law should have said. I mean, what Antonin Scalia said, and he was exactly right about, if you give me a lousy law, you're going to get a silly decision from me, because if you give me a silly law, that's what the decision will be, because it will reflect that law. It's not for me to decide, well, what the legislature really meant to do was this, I'm pretty sure, so we're going to do that. That's not the way it's supposed to operate, is it?
It's not, but that also, that view, which has been widely talked about amongst conservatives and Republican presidents, misses something else that it is the job of judges to do, and that is hold the other branches of the federal government to within their just powers, the powers that are given to them under the Constitution, not to defer to the will of Congress and give Congress the chance to define the scope of its own power. And that's exactly what the Supreme Court has done under the rubric of what in the book I call our democratic Constitution for 50 or 60 years. And it's what the left side of the Supreme Court is monolithic in doing in every case, in which what matters is the scope of federal power. And the Obamacare case is a perfect example of that.
Of course it is.
I was one of the lawyers in that case. I devised the challenge to Obamacare. And Chief Justice Roberts agreed with us that an individual insurance mandate was beyond the power of Congress under the original meaning of the Commerce and Necessary and Proper Clause. But then he turned around and said it was his duty to defer to Congress if possible. And he therefore construed the mandate as an option to buy insurance enforced by a tax, which he said he could then uphold. But he thought it was his duty to follow the will of the majority rather than to hold Congress to its enumerated powers. And so he adhered to the Democratic Constitution when the chips were down.
You know, I wondered at that time, and maybe this is a little bit far afield, but you have to wonder, what do they have over this guy? I mean, what kind of photographs do they have? He folded himself into a pretzel three times over to get to the conclusion he reached. It was nonsensical. It had no logic attached to it in any fashion. You know that. So do I.
My book explains the logic that he had and why it's wrong and why Republicans need to wise up and pick justices who don't hew to this logic. The logic it had is the same logic that progressives had, and that is that judges are acting improperly if they thwart the will of a majority. And they should defer to the will of the majority as represented in Congress if they possibly can.
I'm sorry. I have to. You used the term logic and progressives in the same sentence.
Yeah. Well, I have a whole chapter on the progressives.
Yeah.
And the progressives, wrong as they were, and a whole chapter about why they were wrong, had a logic to them. And the logic to them is they wanted progressive results to be implemented by majorities in legislatures, and the Supreme Court was using our Republican Constitution to stop them. And so they developed a logical position. Judges should defer to the majority of we people because it's the Democratic will. The Democratic will of we the people should prevail.
And do they understand we don't live in a democracy? Do they understand we live in a representative republic and democracy?
They understand it, and they understand it, and they disagree with it. That's why they favor. You're getting to the core of my book now. That's why they favor a democratic constitution. It's not the one we have, but that's what they want. So they make the one we have into a democratic constitution. And the problem is, too many Republicans agree with them about that.
No, see, only a fool. Here's the problem, and we'll get to the core of that. But only a fool would believe in democracy as a foundation, because democracy works right up until the time the people realize they can vote their way right into the treasury, at which time the party is over every single time. Okay, doctor, go ahead and tell people the name of your book again and where they can find it.
Well, it's Our Republican Constitution. You can easily find it on Amazon.com. And as of yesterday, I know some of my colleagues even found it at Costco. I have a picture of stacks of these books in Costco.
Well, doctor, I greatly appreciate it. Randy Barnett, good conversation. Love to have you back sometime in the future.
Anytime. Just give me the word.
All right, sir. Thank you so much.
Okay. Bye-bye.
When building a new home, your options should be wide open. With Greenstone, you can choose to pick up the hammer or let someone else do the heavy lifting. Our construction loans are designed to fit your needs, from do-it-yourself projects and fully contracted to home sites on acreage of any size. Greenstone offers competitive rates with low down payments, and with 31 Michigan locations, they're just a short drive away. Learn more at greenstonefcs.com. That's Greenstone Farm Credit Services, your custom home lender. It's the Steve Gruber Show.